I wonder if Ben Bernanke has the Moody Blues on his playlist. He's probably about that old. Louis Story joins us, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times, reporting on Ben Bernanke's meeting yesterday. Well-timed or poorly timed, who knows? It was a one-day policy meeting, and the Fed decided to leave short-term interest rates close to zero for the next 2 years, and then followed up with a pretty sobering assessment of the economy over the next 2 years. Louise, what did you make of this report that clearly reassured the markets anyway?
Well, you know, John, the markets have been pretty moody themselves. And in fact, it was interesting, if you watch the ticker right after the announcement came out, stocks fell. You know, people were at first really upset with this. And then, you know, about 40 minutes later, you're watching, they start picking up, and then they went up a ton, the biggest one-day rise we've seen in, you know, a couple of years. And so what that was is at first the market was disappointed. People were disappointed that the Fed did not do something bigger. A lot of people were saying the Fed might start some kind of new bond buying program like the other two that they've done already, spending over $1 trillion in bonds. And they didn't do that, but they said they will keep interest rates low until mid-2013. And the line in there that traders in Wall Street were pointing me to was that they did say that they've looked at the tools they've got and they may consider deploying them. So it sounds like, you know, they're keeping options open for doing something bigger if they need to in a few weeks or a few months.
Well, two things. I want to talk about the sort of tool issue, because on this program earlier this week, or maybe it was last Friday, you suggested that the Fed is really running out of tools. We'll focus on that in a second. But you just referred a moment ago to what they didn't do, and I suspect you're referring to a third round of the sort of QE2, the quantitative easing business, where they actually buy bonds, which increases liquidity. I've looked around. There doesn't seem to be a lot of consensus from economists that a QE3 is a good idea, and the Fed was responding to that, it seemed.
Well, that's right, because it's not clear that it's helped the economy as much as the Fed wanted it to. The idea behind having a quantitative easing, a QE 1 and 2, was that you would flood the financial system with so much money, because if the Fed's out there buying bonds, then maybe other investors will go buy stocks, for instance, that you flood the system with so much money that that'll mean that company stocks will go up and maybe they'll feel good enough to go start hiring people. And that's worked in the past sometimes, but it's not really worked so well this time. You know, flooding the system with money has not led companies to go hire people or to build factories or expand. And so a lot of people think that the Fed's traditional approach just may not be right for this recession.
And I was looking at a statistic. Apparently, the Fed's QE2 program released about $2 trillion in liquidity into the economy. And $1.5 trillion of it is still in the bank, that businesses aren't even using the money because they're so insecure about whether they can get a return.
That's right. So corporations are sitting on record levels of cash, and so are banks, and they're all scared to spend it because, on the one hand, corporations don't want to spend it. They don't think there's enough demand if they make more products. And on the other hand, banks don't want to invest their cash because they don't know where to put it to get a good return that they feel is safe enough. You know, they're all afraid of things that are risky, but then the things that they don't think are too risky aren't returning very much. So they're just sitting on it.
And the Fed, at least in its commentary, suggests that there's got to be a lot more pull in the economy for them to feel secure about a recovery. They're sort of up to their ears in push at this point, which brings me to the line that your sources were pointing you to, and that is that the Fed has some tools, it has some levers, but it's sitting on them for now. Now, if you say the Fed is running out of tools, why do investors believe that the Fed has some sort of secret lever that we kind of know they don't?
Well, you know, investors are hopeful on the other hand, on the one hand. And on the other hand, what I'm saying is that there's not a lot of traditional tools.
I see.
Fed has used everything that they've possibly used in the past. But, you know, no one knows what they might dream up here. They've done a lot of really unexpected, really novel things during the financial crisis. You know, they came up with all kinds of ways to bail out companies. And so maybe they could come up with something that's completely unprecedented. And I think markets are hopeful they will. You know, by law, the Fed is supposed to help keep prices stable, so ward off inflation or deflation. And they're also supposed to help keep unemployment at a reasonable level. And, you know, a lot of people feel that that unemployment part hasn't happened this time around. And so there is a possibility they'll try to come up with some very, very novel program. It's just hard to envision what it would be since they haven't done something, you know, they've kind of exhausted all the things they've done in the past.
And Louise, finally, before we go, can you just help me with a little logic problem I'm having with the Fed?
Yeah.
They say the recession is going to last for 2 more years, and that's reassuring? Excuse me?
No, their economic statement was very unreassuring, but it was really confirming what everyone in the market already knows and is concerned about. So it wasn't new information that the economy is looking dismal and that the recovery is stalling. It was just confirmation.
And basically, investors were at least able to say, well, we can hang our hat on these interest rates. They're not going anywhere, right?
That's right.
That's the takeaway. Okay, Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times, assessing the Fed report yesterday that certainly seemed to buoy the Wall Street markets. Thanks, Louise.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.